If you're new with us on this Mother's Day, inside your worship guide, you have some notes. At the top of those notes, you have three questions, essential questions. They are placed there to help you to bring to life the message that the Holy Spirit's going to deliver to all of us this morning, but specifically to you this morning as a mom. We're looking at characteristics of a godly mom. This won't be the first time because there's so many wonderful characteristics regarding you, very special women in the world. When our Heavenly Father created you, understand, there isn't a heavenly mom in heaven. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when He made you, He made you to be so wonderfully pleasing to the eye. He made you in such a way that you could have life conceived in you and that life be carried by you and born through you into the world. Now, if you think about that, other than the fact that this is His way of bringing human beings into the world, you are a select group of people on the face of the earth. You are amazing individuals and beautiful on top of that. So as we begin this morning, we see a lot of moms in the scriptures. There's great moms and there's not so great moms. And then there's some moms in the middle. But they're all important. Moms are exceedingly important to culture, to society itself, especially the American society. And my encouragement this morning, as I've been in prayer and in worship before our Lord, is, ladies, don't let this culture in America sway you from biblical culture, from being the woman that He created you to be, and to be the kind of mother He wants you to be. So this message is set aside for moms and for grandmoms, and it's for stepmoms, and it's for aunts as well, who oftentimes function like a mom in people's families. And this is a message for you. I had a mom who wasn't my mom biologically, and she wasn't my stepmother. I had four of those. She was a special person that God put in my life from junior high school until about 5 or 6 years ago when He took Mom Fisher home to be with Him. Very special. All of you ladies are exceedingly special. Now, you may have loved your mom very, very much. I loved my mom, even with all, you know, she wasn't perfect. But I loved my mom. But some of us, we're not crazy about our moms. And some of our moms have moved on. They've gone to heaven, hopefully. So with that in mind, I want you, if you would, to turn to Paul's second letter to his son in the faith, Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy and chapter 1 in your Bibles so that you can see it in your own English translation. We're going to look at the salutation before we move into the guts, if you will, of this morning's message from our Heavenly Father to you girls. As you can find in the salutation tremendous teaching, because all Scripture is breathed out by Him. So the salutation themselves have teaching in there for all of us, but there is teaching here especially for moms to take with them this morning. Paul, he begins by saying, Paul himself, an apostle, an ambassador is what that term means. Paul, an apostle, an ambassador of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. This was Jesus' choice that he be an apostle. and according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. And then he says to Timothy, Timothy, this is a great, great name to name a boy. It's a tremendous name, particularly if you're going to be raising your boy in the faith, because it means the one who honors God. One who honors God. And Timothy was such a person. To Timothy, my beloved child in the faith, is what he's saying. He didn't have, or we know of no children that Paul may or did not father. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus to you. These are all gifts that we all receive at the time that we are converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. But ladies, this is something I want you to hold on to that Paul is speaking about to his son in the faith. He wants you to remember this marvelous grace and mercy, because that grace and mercy that he gave you at that conversion point in your life brought peace, should have brought peace into your life, because this grace and mercy takes away all of your sin, all of it. Girls, understand, this bringing back in the flesh and bringing forward into the present or into the future past sins, you should not be doing that. You should not beat yourself down because of past actions. They have all been taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his son. God the Father said, moms, I'm sending my son so you don't have to dilly-dally with those things anymore and mess up days of your life going forward, because they're all gone. They're all gone. I will never use them against you, and you shouldn't either. You shouldn't either. Don't listen to your flesh. Do not listen to the territorial demon who may come, who remembers your past. It doesn't matter anymore. You're in the future. You're with Christ Jesus. You are saved and forgiven all of your sin. He goes on and says, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors. He doesn't tell us who these ancestors, specific ancestors, are. But I thank God whom I serve. And I hope the girls that you are thanking God whom you serve as a mother to your children, your adult children. You are still their mom. You still serve them. My wife still serves our girls, and it's just part and parcel of who she is as a mom. She's crazy about her girls, just as we were about our boy. I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, and he can do that because his sins have all been forgiven. He can serve in the church. He can serve Jesus. Ladies, you can serve the Lord Jesus because all your sins have been forgiven. He goes on and he says, as I remember, with a clear conscience, and I remember you constantly. He remembers his son in the faith constantly in my prayers night and day. There's an encouragement for you, mom, to be remembering your kids night and day in prayer. Are you praying for them when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, at times during the day? You should be praying for them night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith. I'm reminded of your honest, your pure, your wonderful faith in Christ. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, this faith in Christ that he is remembering and that he sees in Timothy, he first saw in Timothy's grandmother. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And now I'm sure it dwells in you as well. Grandma came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was faithful to share the gospel with Tim's mom. And Tim's mom was faithful to be sharing and praying for Timothy. And Timothy has come to faith as well. And maybe your kids have not yet crossed the line. Continue to pray for them night and day. Continue, Mom, to reflect the character of a godly woman before your son or your daughter or your mix that you have at home. Be a godly mom before your kids. For this reason, I remind you to fan into a flame. For this reason, I am asking you to revive something in you. For this reason, he is saying, I want you to cause something to become greater within you. The gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul laid his hands on Timothy, and Timothy was seen to be a man that had been raised up by God to become a shepherd. And we believe he was the shepherd of the Ephesian church. He was to use his spiritual gift mix of preaching and teaching and loving on people, sharing that fruit of the Spirit with the people in this church and to help them to grow up in Christ Jesus. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, dunamis, the power there for dynamite. He gave us an explosive power, all of us. But Mom, you have this wonderful power within you that the Holy Spirit can bring forth. And this agape love, this ability to have unconditional love towards all people, but especially your children, especially your children. And that guy you married. And self-control. The Spirit of God has given you this wonderful gift of self-control, self-discipline, to act in a sober manner, to have behavior that is sensible, is being referred to in this term here, self-control. So Paul is writing this to Timothy because he was probably a little discouraged. That is, Timothy was a little discouraged. We believe this from things that are said in these prison letters that Paul wrote, especially to Timothy. You'll recall from spending time in the book of the Revelation that Jesus would be quoted by John saying, they have lost their first love. The church at Ephesus had lost its first love, a love for our Lord Jesus, as so many of the churches in Asia Minor. And as we have come to find out, as we've been studying the book of Acts, the church absolutely died in what we know to be modern-day Turkey. And today the religion is Islam. Islam. So in thinking about that passage there in the scripture in 2 Timothy and thinking about what are the characteristics of a godly mom, I would like to share with you the following on this Father's Day. Write this down because it's not in your notes. Pardon? Oh, Father's Day. I've already got that on my mind. Mother's Day. Well, that was a quick response, girls. I hope you listen to the whole message that closely. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Write that one down, girls. No one likes the Proverbs 31 woman. No, they don't. But anyway, Proverbs 31, 30. There it says, our Heavenly Father reveals, he says, charm is deceptive, girls. Charm is deceptive. Actually, in another translation, it's more correct. It says, charm is deceitful. And beauty does not last. Beauty will not last, girls. But a woman who fears, a woman who worships, a woman who treats the Lord with great love, with an understanding. She has a little bit of fear of him, but at the same time, it's a matter of being reverential before her God. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Greatly praised. So girls, this is your goal. You want to be this woman of the Lord who is known for the fact that you're crazy about our Heavenly Father. You're crazy about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is so very active in your life. So looking at your notes, what are the characteristics of a godly mother? Question, what does a godly mother look like? We could talk about a beautiful mother, rich mother, youthful, about all kinds of mothers. But what about a godly mother? Does that mean that she's perfect? No. That's too quick, girls. But that's true. Is she perfect? No. No, it does not mean that she's perfect. But it does mean she has a quality about herself that separates her from most. Paul saw this in Timothy's grandmother and mother. First of all, a godly mother is a mother who prays, who has lots of conversations with our Lord, and reads the Word of God. Not necessarily every day, but it's the habit of her life. It's the habit of her life because she receives Jesus Christ. She received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She believes the Word of God, and she knows that the instructions in the Word of God will help her to be a better wife and a better mother. And when the children come along, not only that, it is going to affect everything about her. It's going to affect the way she dresses, the way she handles herself, the way she works, the kind of wife she is, and the kind of mother she'll be. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, this passage of Scripture is not foreign to us. It is something we have looked at in depth. But let's read it aloud together, shall we? All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That the mother of children, the woman who has children, may be equipped for every good work. What did the Holy Spirit just reveal to you girls in this passage? Godly mothers understand that the Word of God is useful. She understands that it's very profitable for her, But it's not only profitable for her, it's profitable for her children. And it's profitable for her husband. It's profitable for understanding and living the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. And the scriptures that are authoritative. They give you license to speak to your children in a particular way, to speak to them that are in sin. You can rebuke them, but in love. In love, you're seeking their best and their highest good at your expense by sharing with them what Father God has written about their sinfulness. It's there and it's usable for correcting your children, for correcting their error. Literally, it is there for you to raise up, to train up a child in the way that he or she should go in this world. So, question in your notes there. What is God's goal for every Christian mother? To be godly. That's your fill-in, girls. To be godly. Not perfect, but righteous in her conduct. To be righteous in her conduct, her character, and her conversation. Whether that's verbally or so much time on social media. And it's in keeping with these two women we met earlier in 2 Timothy, with Lois and Eunice. It's in keeping with the Word of God. It doesn't mean she'll be like anybody else, look like anybody else, or do anything somebody else is doing. But she's a godly woman, and her life is rooted. Her life is rooted in the Word of God and prayer. Lots of conversations with our Heavenly Father. That's the reason she does such a good job of raising her kids. Too many times have I heard a mom say, I wish I was like so-and-so. Ladies, stop the comparisons, please. Stop the comparisons. The children you have, God gave you because he wanted you to have those kids. Everybody's kids aren't going to be like that mom who has the perfect kids. Trust me. If you could get in real close, you'll find they're not so perfect. But on the outside, they look like it. But some respond differently. They have different temperaments. You know, my mom could name every gray hair on her head. Ronnie gave me this one when da-da-da. Ronnie gave me this one, da-da-da. Ronnie gave me a whole bunch of them right back here, da-da-da. I mean, she was dyeing her hair really dark colors into her 80s. But when the time came, you know, beauty is vain. She just let her hair go natural. And it's kind of like my hair. And I did that to her. Of course, none of you would believe that because I'm such a good person. Thank you, Charlie. You're going to get 20 in the mail someday. So that's the reason that she does such a good job, because there are women that spend a good deal of time in the Word of God, and they know it, and they share it with their children. They pray it over their children. They spend a good deal of time with their Heavenly Father, and it makes a significant significant difference, girls. Significant difference. Action step. Pursue godliness. Pursue godliness. Second of all, I think about this kind of mother. She's a mother who has learned through her personal gnosko time, her time of intimacy, her DPE, her deep personal experience, to trust Jesus for every need in her life. Would you say that out loud for that fill-in? For every need in her life. Thank you, three of you. Again, all of you. Every need in her life. And circle the word need, girls. Because reading and thinking and praying and meditating upon the Word of God, she recognized Jesus has made her some promises. So neat to come across those promises. He made a lot of promises in the Word of God for meeting our needs, especially the needs of moms, of women. It just isn't physical needs, Mom. It isn't just material needs. He's very much akin to your emotional needs, unlike your husband. You are amazing to us. We don't understand you because we're men. But our Heavenly Father, He understands your emotional needs. So go to Him, be with Him. He will meet those needs when... I'm not blaming Him, but we don't get it. We don't get it. But that's the way we were made. But we need, as men, to try, and try very hard to understand. And a woman, a mother, a stepmom, a grandmom, an aunt has these emotional needs, and our Heavenly Father is aware of them. And so as a woman, as a mother, as a stepmom, as a grandmom who loves Jesus, who's praying and in the Word, trusting Him, that you're demonstrating this wonderful faith that we need to see in ourselves. Our kids need to see it in our moms. If we're talking to them about have faith, they need to see that you have faith. We don't talk about our negativity, our things that are really lousy going on in front of the kids. We talk with our husbands about that. Guys, we talk to our wives about that. Not in front of the kids. We don't want to mess up their world. They have faith in the two of you. They're trusting the two of you to keep them safe, to take good care of them. Let's talk about the sufficiency of Christ, girls. Let's talk about His sufficiency to meet our needs. Action step. Develop a gnosko time and enter into deep personal experiences with Jesus. Stop listening to me talk about it. And girls, those of you who haven't done it yet, let's begin. Let's begin tonight. Third quality, when I think of a godly mother, is that she's generous towards others. And that's the way Kathy is, and my mom was. Very, very generous. I can remember when we almost had nothing. I'm going back now as a kid, not when Kath and I first started out, but when I was a kid, I was born into a family that was lower middle class. You know, we lived on the north side of Ventura Boulevard, and the rich people lived on the south side, up in the hills. In 1949, my dad bought a home for $6,000. $6,000. You know, after Mom passed away, we sold it for $635,000. So you see how inflation took place. And my dad worked too, sometimes three jobs to be able to make the mortgage payment on a $6,000 house. But the third quality, when I think of a godly mother, is that she's generous towards others. My mom, if someone came over to visit, they couldn't get out the door without her giving them something, an apple or an orange. And sometimes it might have been my apple or my orange. The fact is this, and here's your fill-in. A loving heart is generous. A loving heart is generous. And girls, if you're in Christ, you've got that loving heart. You've got it. He gave you that part of the fruit of the Spirit. You have a gnosko heart. And you have a phileo heart. You have a heart that's filled with warmth towards family and towards friends, along with seeking other people's best and highest good at your expense. That's all part and parcel as to who you are as a Christian woman. So naturally, it follows into being a Christian mom. A loving heart is generous, not selfish. A generous heart is thinking about others, because sometimes the only thing you have to give the person who is visiting you or in your sphere of influence is a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement. And think about how powerful that is. Not being a person of discouragement, not being a person who is a depleter, but sending people off with encouragement. If my mom had a downfall, the one downfall she had was she was a depleter when it came to her boys. Being an encourager was not second nature to her. And I know where that came from. It came from her mother, my grandmother. She was a depleter. She was the queen of depleters. And my mom grew up with that. But she tried to work against it. And Christ helped her when she came to faith as an adult. But it was still there. Sometimes a word of encouragement is far more powerful than a fistful of money. It's far more powerful than, hey, we're going to give you the next promotion. You're going to move up. But there's something about your character, something about you as a Christian mom. You carry yourself in a different way. You speak in a different way. You act in a different way. And these ways are inspiring. Inspiring, girl. Anyone can be negative. Mom, grandmother, stepmother, aunt. Be positive. Be optimistic. Be hopeful. With your children, be encouraging. Be all these things. And may each of us be this way toward our mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and fellas, if we're married, our wives, the mother of our children. Let us be encouragers to them. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 21, there it says, the wise are known for their understanding. Girls, a wise woman is known for her understanding. I listen to my wife. She has wisdom that she has gleaned over the years from life and from the Word of God. She is a woman of the Word. And she has things to share with me in my life to help me to be a better man. The wise are known for their understanding, and pleasant words are persuasive. Say with me, pleasant words are persuasive. Pleasant words are persuasive. Now, when you get home, if your spouse isn't with you, tell them, what I learned this morning is pleasant words are persuasive. Get it? But you're saying that to her or to him, right? Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Ladies, we've all come out of the world. And I have to tell you, I've been shocked to death by the vocabulary of women. I got chewed out by a woman as a police officer. Now we're going back, 30, 40 years. I got chewed out by her, and she chewed me out worse than I got chewed out by my drill sergeant in the military. I didn't know she had such a potty. A woman could have such a potty mouth. I mean, you should have seen her. She was the wife of this very rich doctor. And they had this staircase that was like in the south. It wrapped around and went up like this to the upstairs. And you walk in, you just kind of, whoa. And up there, here is this woman, and she is dressed in this long gown, and it's flowing at her feet, and her hair is all, you would have thought she was a queen or something. And she was up there turning the air blue with the language. And I stood there, and I'm sure my sergeant had to say, close your mouth, Ron, because I was just... Girls, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up. For building up. If you want to say something to your kids that's going to tear them down, did I not tell you to clean up the room, you so-and-so, so-and-so? Yeah, no. Find another way to talk to them. Many of you are college educated, and you do not have to go to our base profanity to get your point across. You do not. When I was in the military, I had my military language, which was every other word was profanity, and then I had my off-base language, which was all cleaned up nice to be in gentle, company and so forth. But every once in a while, one of those sliver bad words came out of my mouth, and I'd have to ask her to forgive me for my word. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, moms, but only such as good for building up your kids, mom, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. They don't deserve it. Grace is something you give to someone that doesn't deserve it. It's a gift. Girls, give your kids some grace. Find another way to tell them what they've done has offended God, has offended you, and needs to be corrected. A godly mother is one who is generous towards others and knows what generosity is about, what it's really like, and knows when they compliment somebody, they're complimenting them in a way that does something important for them. Now, our time has kind of run away, and I've never not been able to complete a Mother's Day message. But please come back next week. I've got a few more things that the Lord has shared with us that will, I know, Mom, you want to be a good mom. You want to be a mom that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to be in yourself. You beat yourself up for having failed at times as a mom. So we'll come back to that. Let's pray. Abba, Father, what a tremendous dad and example you are to dads, men. Thank you for giving us moms. Thank you very much. There is no way to measure how much they bring to our lives. And we're so grateful for their love. Their care, and their many sacrifices. We ask that you help every mother to see herself through your eyes, through your perspective, that they see themselves to be each one of them are custom made. There isn't another one like them. They're custom made. They're masterpieces. And they're your daughters. Not only are they these things, Father, but you bring to mind they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Help her. Help her to understand that you created her with everything necessary to be the mother her children need. Lord, we pray that you give every mother encouragement, wisdom, and strength. And please show them that their hard work is not only noticed, but also has eternal significance. Jesus, we lift up any mom who are struggling right now. We know that being a mom can be tough, so we ask that you ease their burdens and fill them with your peace. Give them the rest and endurance they need. Jesus, we ask that every mother feel your love and presence always. And Father, we pray for those who long to be mothers but have not yet been able to conceive. We pray you comfort them and let them know that you are aware of their deep desire and teach them to trust in your goodness and your plans for their lives. Finally, we ask you to bless every mom out here and outside this worship center, Father, with a community of support. We know motherhood can be lonely sometimes, and that every mom needs help. So we ask you to surround them with friends and family who can be there for them, offering practical help and give them encouragement, yes, encouragement when they need it. Thank you so much for giving us moms, Father. We know there are one of the greatest blessings in our lives And we ask that you continue to guide and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.